May the words of my lips and the thoughts of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated, please. From its very beginning, the Anglican Church has cherished those words of Jesus that conclude this morning's Gospel. In the 1662 Book of Common Prayer, they have the heading, The Comfortable Words. They're written this way. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. This sentence of Scripture is included in almost every subsequent version of the Anglican Holy Communion. It continues in more modern language in today's Gospel. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Rest for our souls. There's just so many ways to keep ourselves busy in this 21st century, but where do we find rest? A place where we can let go of all tensions and become quiet and at peace. As I was preparing the sermon, sitting at my desk, looking out across the city to the western tiers beyond, and then in the far distance, the peak of Mount Jerusalem. Each morning at 7:30, I walk our two poodles for a couple of kilometres through the bush surrounding our home. Not this morning, of course, because I had to be here for the 8:30 service. And not during the week anymore, because I have an 8 o'clock start at the hospital. And not yesterday, because it was pouring with rain. But most Saturdays, they still get their walk. Then as I look over the city to the mountains beyond and marvel at their beauty, or feel the stillness of the morning bush, my favourite psalm floods to my mind. It's Psalm 121. The translation is my own. I gaze in awe at the ancient hills and find my peace murmured in the breeze among the trees. The peace of the Lord who made them, the God who created heaven and earth. When we stumble, his Spirit supports us. Our God who loves us never sleeps. The one who cares for us is ever wakeful, ever hearing the cries of his children, always with us, within us, closer even than our own next breath. The blazing sun will not harm us, nor the shadows of the moon disturb our peace of mind. Our God supports us, keeps us going in the hard times. He treasures our immortal soul. When we arise in the morning to go about our work, when we retire in the evening, our God will be with us today and for eternity. I believe that there is a deep, deep hunger in the human soul for a resolution to doubts and conflicts, for relief from the weight of worldly problems that seem to tumble around us, for a lifting from our shoulders the burdens that weigh us down. For most Christians, it's the paradox of living in a world but not being of the world, trying our best to follow God's law in an alien, largely immoral society. So in these circumstances, where do we find rest? There's a huge temptation to settle for diversions, the distractions of the world around us that tempt us in so many directions. There's so many diversions available that a hungry or lost soul can spend all their time trying them out, running from one to another without ever exhausting the possibilities. and yet never arriving at a satisfactory answer. Diversions vary from the very basic grasping for riches and power, or stumbling through multiple relationships, losing oneself in a fog of alcohol and parties, to newer examples that come in a dazzling variety: pop music, nightclub, drug culture, risky behaviours that destroy so many young people. Social media diversions, pseudo relationships, cyber space, sex, adultery, even into the make believe world of computer games. There are religious diversions too. Never before have there been so many religions and sects available. Religion's just become another consumer product, where the music, the slick talk, and the ritual push the gospel and faith aside. I'm certain that this world has previously never offered so many diversions in which a human soul can be completely lost. But then it was always that way. King Solomon tried them all, and he wrote in Ecclesiastes, "I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards. I made gardens, parks, planted all kinds of fruit trees. I made reservoirs to water them. I bought male and female slaves. I had other slaves who were born in my house. I owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself, the treasure of kings and promises. I acquired male and female singers, a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I denied myself nothing that my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labour. This was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." The Hebrew in this text is hevel hevelin, absolute, total emptiness. Thankfully, into this diversionary world, one old, yet ever new, gentle voice of sanity still speaks. It does not shout or bribe or seduce, yet it remains the most powerful of all voices. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus offers us rest. Rest for our total being, recuperation for our frayed souls. He offers us a place where we can lay down our burdens and satisfy the deepest longings of the human spirit. To those who have tried to taste every diversion that this world offers, yet remain empty, speaking their longing, "There must be more to life than this." Jesus of Nazareth says, "Of course there is. Come to me, and I will give you true life." What Jesus calls us to discover and to trust is the hidden sacred reality that can satisfy our deepest longing. He invites us to find that blessed reality which is all around us, though we do not see it, within us, though we do not know it. Jesus invites us to enjoy that holy reality which cannot be probed by scientific study nor even explained in a theological creed, but can only be experienced by faith in him. To those who come to him, Jesus offers the kingdom of God, the good news of God's ruling presence in all, through all, above all, a kingdom of overflowing love, where sinners are recovered, rebels forgiven, lepers embraced, and where the lost find themselves truly at home. There's no need to be afraid when Jesus bids us come. We come like children, like infants, into the warm arms of Abba. Daddy's the best translation of that Aramaic phrase, in whose arms we rest our tired little lives, the one holy source that preceded the Big Bang and will be there for us when this universe is no more. Jesus bids us return to the true roots of selfhood, to return and find ourselves totally at home. Well, there is, of course, the yoke of Jesus. That's in the passage too. With Christ, we are yoked in the service of God's other children. Now, it's a rare sight in Australia today to see working bullocks. A heavy wooden beam across their shoulders, an iron collar under their necks. We're a bit lucky in that we lived on a family farm that's been established for well over 100 years. And the metal parts of a bullock yoke are still there. Along with a bullock bell that Lynn found beside one of the old bush tracks. When I mentioned the find, the bullock bell, to my aunt, she quickly rattled off the names of the six bullocks in that team. But such a yoke was certainly not light. It was massive, the heavy wooden beam and the iron collar. But I still reckon it's a helpful metaphor for faith. The image of a team of bullocks yoked side by side, pulling together, pulling as one. Jesus offers us his yoke. He wanted to free people from the heavy yokes they wore and the burdens that they carried. And paradox lies at the heart of Christian experience. The Sunday before last, in the Gospel reading, we were in the midst of such paradox when Jesus said, "He who saves his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." And paradoxically, by taking Christ's yoke upon our shoulders, we become free. His yoke is the nearest thing to pure liberty that we shall ever experience in this life. There can never be absolute freedom. We always have to choose some kind of overlord. The question is, which master or mistress will we choose? The transitory things of this world, or perhaps even attempting to serve many things, being pulled this way and that, without ever finding peace or rest. Diversions that can never put us in touch with our true selves. I know in my heart that the yoke of Christ will enable each of us to find our true selves. The yoke of Jesus will bestow on us more liberty than anything else in all creation. The yoke will bring joy and peace and increasing mastery over the sins that tempt us all. Maybe today is the time for us to accept this yoke of Jesus. That gentle, loving voice of Jesus that speaks to us all, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The most amazing thing that I know about the yoke of Jesus is simply this. The more you submit to the yoke, the more you become really alive. It's back to that image of the team of bullocks yoked and working together. Working together, pulling as one. By helping others, you help yourself. By strengthening others, you are strengthened. By lifting someone else's load, your own load becomes lighter. It's the way of the kingdom of God. The standards of the world turned upside down. The way to become great is to become a servant. The way to life is by dying to self. The way to have more is to give away what you have. He who would find his life must lose it for Jesus' sake. The road to the kingdom of God follows the way of the cross. I'm just doing some calculations in my mind. About 18 years ago at parish council, we adopted a couple of things. One was that little motto that Dane used in his last talk here, to know Christ and to make him known. The other was a parish prayer, and we'd printed a couple of hundred copies off, but they've all gone now, except that I printed another batch off during the week. It was a prayer that I wrote when I was working in the Defence Force. Heavenly Father, we pray for ourselves and for each other in this parish of Holy Trinity where we are called to serve, that more and more we feel our belonging together, our need for each other, and the strength and joy that comes from working and striving together in common purpose. Lord, help us to be Barnabas, to encourage each other's strengths and talents. Help us to be there for each other, committed to each other's growth. Stir up within us a spirit of generous service to enable our love for you and all your people to flood our homes, our church, and our community. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.